We did a bit of Bible study, and we were going to do Bible study and just pray and stuff, and then I got distracted with my phone or something like that, and then Nathan's sitting there, and they're waiting to pray and waiting to like read the Bible, and he says, is your phone more important than Jesus now? Eh? Is your phone more important? So when you have a little prophet in the house, then he challenges you that Jesus is most important, even though he doesn't quite have a clue what that means just yet, but it's wonderful. So this morning, is Jesus the most important in your life at the moment? Is he really far above everything else in your life? Just thought I'd challenge all of us with that this morning. I remember when I was at school, I got saved when I was 15 years old in grade 9 these days, standard 7. And I remember one thing was really weird for me. When I gave my life to Jesus, after that, I couldn't swear. I struggled to swear. Now, when you're a boy of 15 or 16 years old, then swearing is like the in thing, and you use the F word and the SH and the some terrible words that come out of mouths of young boys these days. And, or even adults for that matter, but it seems like that's the time when you start to learn to swear. And when I was saved and I struggled to say the F word, I said the other F word. Instead of the bad F word, I said flip, man. Flip, you know, flip. If I was upset, I would say flip. I don't know who Flip was, there's a guy called Flip, but it was weird for me how the Lord specifically cleansed my mouth, and it was almost here and there when I was on my own, like in the workshop on the farm, I would fix tractors and fix engines, and things didn't go quite like I wanted, and I got so frustrated, and I found myself swearing once, and I was like so convicted and so upset that I actually like swore like that. But in the time when God saved me, I knew he had cleansed my mouth, and what came out of my mouth was important for God. It was just something that I felt he did in my life. And I didn't know why at the time, but everyone else around me was just, you know, using swear words easily. But for me, it was like really important that I didn't swear like this. And it was so weird for me. But afterwards, I realized that there's so much power in the words that we speak. Amen. There's so much power when we use the words correctly, and when we communicate correctly, and when we have our mouths consecrated unto the Lord. And so this morning, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which we've done this last 5 weeks or so. Did you guys enjoy the testimonies of the last few weeks? Stefan Banda's testimony, Ben De Bruyne's testimony, Jakob Prinsloo's preach on the Holy Spirit and the gifts. Did you guys enjoy it? I trust that there's been a deposit of the Spirit of God. And I started off 4 weeks ago with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this morning I want to carry on in that theme about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be long this morning. I really want to give us chance to be in the presence of the Lord this morning, to hear words from God, and then to speak words to one another this morning. I really believe God wants to edify the body through the Spirit this morning. That we don't just go on and do church, but that we hear the voice of the Lord clearly this morning. Amen. Because God wants to speak to us, but God wants to also speak through us. Amen. So tell someone next to you and through you. Revelation 19 verse 10 says, if we put those scriptures up on the board there, please, Pierre. Revelation verse 19 verse 10. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19 verse 10. Talks about the power of a testimony. I'll get it in my Bible. I didn't quite write it down here. Revelation 19 verse 10 says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him." This is John speaking of his experience with the Lord. And the angel came to reveal certain things to John about the end times and about, you know, Jesus and all these amazing things. And then John was so in awe and so struck with what he had heard and what he had seen that he fell down at his feet to worship this angel. But the angel said to John, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so I trust that you've enjoyed the last few weeks' testimonies, because each testimony that has been shared and your testimony in your life is truly a testimony of Jesus. Amen. It is actually a spirit of prophecy. When you testify, You talk about Jesus. And even when we worship this morning, we're worshiping as a testimony unto Jesus. Isn't that amazing? The songs that we sing aren't just worship. They aren't just songs that we sing, but they're a testimony that Jesus Christ has come back. Or is coming back, and that Jesus Christ has come to save us. But he says here, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I'll talk a bit about the spirit of prophecy this morning, because the spirit of prophecy testifies of Jesus Christ. Every testimony that's inspired by God and that you can testify of God in your life is a testimony unto Jesus. And it's the spirit of prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is simply a message inspired by God, a divine revelation forthtelling the word of God. And I want to say this morning that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a ministry of prophecy. And maybe when you think of prophecy and you think of prophets, you get scared because you've been prophesied over and it didn't come true, or some false prophet spoke into your life and you were hurt and you were offended by prophecy. And so prophecy is like something was for the Old Testament, or it stopped in the book of Acts. And you know, there's a chapter in, or a verse in 1 Corinthians 13, which says, you know, prophecy and tongues and all these things have ceased. So some believers, honest believers in this day and age we live in, believe that prophecy is stopped because 1 Corinthians 13 says that which is in part will be done away with and that which is the fullness will come. But that's not the correct interpretation. Prophecy and tongues have not ceased. It's still alive today. But maybe you've been hurt by prophecy, and when you hear prophecy, it's like, oh no, this is going weird and wacky, and it's almost like yours dancing on the stage. It's like, no, this is freaky, you know, this can't be right. But prophecy is real for today. Prophecy is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It has to do specifically this morning with communication and with speaking. It's not the only ministry of the Holy Spirit, but the ministry of the Holy Spirit has to do with communication. Would you agree with that? The Holy Spirit wants to communicate. He's a communicator. He loves to communicate. And this morning I want to ask you, do you desire to prophesy? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, Paul writes it twice in that chapter, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 and verse 39, he says we must desire especially to prophesy. Why? Because it's the testimony of Jesus. So we think prophecy is something apart from Jesus. Prophecy, the spirit of prophecy, is simply the testimony of Jesus. And do you desire this morning really to prophesy? Do you desire to testify about Jesus? Because I'm trusting this morning, my faith is that the Holy Spirit ministers to us in a powerful way this morning, that we become excited again to just speak about Jesus Christ. Amen. To speak about the oracles of God, to speak the things of God out into a world that needs the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because the devil wants to silence us, friends. That's so. The devil wants to keep us quiet. And we're so afraid to speak. Just now we say the wrong things. But if you follow the Spirit of God, if you have the Spirit of prophecy come over you, in other words, the Holy Spirit come upon you, you can speak the Word of God. And it's the testimony of Jesus. Remember that this morning. It's not something freaky. It's not something weird. It's not something separate from who God is. It's the testimony of Jesus. That is the Spirit of prophecy. John chapter 16, verse 13, says the following: however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Say, guide you. Underline that word guide in your Bibles. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. This is what Jesus is telling his disciples. He says the Spirit will come specifically to do a job here, and that's to guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Isn't that amazing? Do you think the world needs guidance today? Do you need guidance in your life today? Who doesn't need guidance? Put up your hand. I think we all need, if we have to guide our own lives, we're going to end up freaking ourselves out. We're going to end up struggling. If we have to guide ourselves, if we have to rely on our own guidance. If you're your own boss here this morning and Jesus isn't your boss, then I don't know, but I don't know how you cope with life, to be honest. But there's a guidance that comes from the Spirit of God. And Jesus says to his disciples, I've got to go away because the Spirit of truth is going to come. I'm not going to be the only one to guide you physically. I want to leave physically so that someone can come, the Holy Spirit can come, that he can guide everyone who wants to be guided by him. And he says, yes, specifically, the Spirit will speak, but he will not speak anything that he doesn't hear from the Father. He will speak what he hears and he will tell it to us and he will tell you guys things that are to come. Surely we say, if we just read the Bibles, that we'll all be fine. Can we say that if we just read the Bible, we'll be fine? No, we need guidance as to what is the Word saying to us. What is the Word applying to our lives? And therefore we need the Holy Spirit. If you're reading your Bible without the Spirit, it can just become another story. It can become a fairy tale even. Especially the Old Testament, all these stories, you think, are they real? But the Spirit guides us and says, this is the truth of God. This is what God wants to say. And we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit specifically. Yes, the Word also guides us, but the Word without the Spirit brings death sometimes. The Word can is the law. It becomes a law. And it can bring death if we don't have the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the guidance and the Spirit of truth speaking into our lives. The few verses before that, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit convicting the world of three things, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. How does the Holy Spirit convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment? How do you think he does that? If the Spirit of truth is sent to convict the world, how does he do this? He does it through the preaching of the word. I remember when I got saved, the guy who preached the gospel to me said to me, if there's no change in your life, there's no Jesus. And he preached by the power of the Spirit, and I realized I had to get saved. I didn't read the Word of God, and yes, I was convicted, but I needed a preacher to preach to me and tell me I need Jesus to save me. I'm not a good person, or I think I'm a good person, but a good person's not going to go to heaven. I needed the preaching of the Word, prophesying of the truth of God by who? By believers, the people of God. So the Holy Spirit is ready to convict, but the Holy Spirit uses us to preach the truth, and he can do it on his own. And yes, you have encounters with God. You have odd people just getting saved by revelation, by divine inspiration, divine revelation. You hear it in India. We went to India, and one of the leaders there, the pastors, he was a Hindu king, and he got saved because his mother just prayed, and he had a vision of Jesus in his sleep, and he encountered Jesus. So you have the odd person having an encounter with Jesus through no man specifically, but he did have his mother praying for him, so I guess that was, a person was involved in a way. But for most of us, how did you get saved in your life? How did you realize that you need to come to Jesus? By someone preaching, I presume, most of us. Maybe there are one or two in this room that you had an encounter with Jesus and you'd never heard the gospel before and boom, you got saved. Wow. But just like Tara shared this morning, most of us, it's little seeds that are sown into our lives, isn't that so? Seeds by someone faithful to preach the Word of God. So I believe the Holy Spirit convicts the world, and that's all of us. We're still in the world, but he convicts us of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. But he does that through the preaching, in other words, the prophesying of truth. I am prophesying this morning by preaching. That's what I'm doing. The Spirit of prophecy is here to speak the truth of God. And Israel as a people were a prophetic people. They weren't supposed to be the only ones to be saved. Israel was used by God, was supposed to be used by God to preach to all the nations. They were a prophetic people. But did they do their job? Not so well. They weren't always a light to Gentiles, even though they were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. Word, God has called us to preach, to prophesy. You see, I remember I couldn't share my testimony without the power of the Holy Spirit. I got saved when I was 15 years old, but for 9 years, I walked without sharing. I didn't share my testimony to anyone. I knew I was saved. It was me and Jesus. We were on a good place, and I knew I was going to heaven, but I couldn't share my testimony with any other person. I'm honest now. I can't remember sharing what God had done in my life, but I knew he'd done something. I knew he'd separated me from all the swearing and all the other stuff at school. It was tough at times. It was tough because I felt separated. I felt like I'm this weird oak who's just not conforming. I'm not doing what the rest of the people are doing. It was really challenging. But I remember thinking, if only I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit at the time, I would have preached to the school. I would have told of Jesus. And yeah, I probably would have been more persecuted, but hey, it would have been worth it. But I remember 9 years later in 2001, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in water, and I got filled with the power to testify. Then I suddenly started to realize what Jesus had done in my life 9 years earlier. I realized that I had been saved, that I was on a journey. But I couldn't share before that. And when I was filled with the Spirit, I just wanted to share about Jesus. But you see, God wants to speak to us and then through us. He longs to speak to us. He longs to prophesy to us. He longs to testify that we can also prophesy, that we can also speak, that we can also testify. So I want to look at three examples quickly from the Old Testament. Sorry, I'm really struggling with this chest of mine. So if my voice gets dry, just excuse me. The first example is I want us to look at how the Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament and what they did. Go with me to Numbers chapter 11 verse 25. In Numbers chapter 11, there's a story there about Moses. God has just told Moses, Moses, you cannot do this on your own. You cannot lead the people of Israel on your own. You need elders, you need helpers, you need people to lift your arms up. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon the 70 elders. So God chose 70 elders to work with Moses. And what happened when the Spirit of the Lord came upon the 70 elders? This is Old Testament. This is not New Testament. This is Old Testament. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Moses and the 70 elders. And what happened when they received the Holy Spirit? What did they do? They prophesied. It says that they prophesied. That's the first example. The second one is found in 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 10. Saul was anointed king of Israel. God said, Saul, go up to the prophets. There's a lot of prophets there. Go up to them and the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you and you're going to become a different person. Tell someone next to you, a different person. And what did Saul do? It says Saul became a different man and he prophesied with the prophets. And then the last example is Ezekiel chapter 11 verse 5 and chapter 37 verse 1. In 11 verse 5, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Ezekiel and God said to Ezekiel, say to the people, thus says the Lord. It says there, say to the people, thus says the Lord. He prophesied and he was a prophet. In Ezekiel 37 verse 1, we know it. It's the story of the dry bones. The hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel at the time. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he said, son of man, what do you see? And he said, I see dry bones. He says, prophesy to these dry bones that they will live. And all of the prophets experienced the hand of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord coming out, bringing them out in the Spirit, and they started to prophesy and operate in the office of a prophet through the gift of prophecy and the Spirit of prophecy. Those are three examples from the Old Testament. Then let's go to the New Testament. Let's look at what the New Testament says about this whole thing of prophecy and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The first one is Acts chapter 2 verse 4. There were 120 believers in the upper room. 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 4, let's just read Acts chapter 2 verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we know the rest of the story. They spoke in tongues of men, not of angels. They spoke in tongues of the earth, languages of the earth. And the people heard them speaking. In other words, they heard them prophesying, the Bible says, the wonderful works of God. That is the first example. There was an anointing, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon these 120 believers, and they started to speak the things of God. They started to simply, in one word, prophesy. Amen. That was the release and the birth of the church happened through these guys, and they started to speak the wonderful works of God. And guess what? They never stopped speaking about God. Remember in Acts chapter 4, they were so persecuted and put in prison, and even in prison they were actually given a second chance. They weren't put in prison, but they were warned and said, you do not speak about God again. And they came back to the other believers and the place was shaken because they were so bold. And they said, Lord, grant that we may even speak more about you and be even more bold about you. But read through the book of Acts. There's a whole thing of God speaking through his people. First to them, but then through them. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 46. What happens? Peter goes to the household of Cornelius. He goes and visits them. The Gentiles, the first Gentiles get filled with the Holy Spirit. It says here, while Peter was even still speaking. So Peter's preaching to these guys. And even while he's still speaking, guess what? The Holy Spirit falls upon the Gentiles. And it says, those who heard the word, those people who are with him, the believers, the circumcised ones, the Israelites, the Jewish believers, they said they can't believe it. Because as many as came with Peter, or those guys who came with Peter, because suddenly they realized the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on supposed to be unbelievers, Gentiles, pagans. But no, they had just been saved at the same time. They had been saved, and guess what they did when the Holy Spirit came upon them? They did two things. They prophesied. In other words, they magnified God and they spoke with tongues. Second example where the Bible clearly says when the Spirit came upon these people, they spoke with tongues. They magnified God. They spoke the works of God. And they were the first Gentiles to receive it. And wasn't that amazing? From there, the whole of Asia Minor started to receive. Where Paul went to Gentiles, to the Romans, to everywhere he went, there was the filling of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, verse 6, the believers were at Ephesus. There were a whole lot of believers at Ephesus, and Paul went to these guys and he asked them and he said, have you ever heard of the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? They said, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. Read Acts chapter 19 from 1 to 6. And Paul says, well, guess what? I think it's time for you to be baptized. I think it's time for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And to cut a long story short, they got baptized. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened when they got filled with the Holy Spirit? Look at that. They spoke with tongues and they prophesied. Three very clear examples. And there are a few others as well. There are many others in the Old Testament as well. I just want to give you three examples because three seems to be complete. If there's three in the Bible of something similar, then it must be true. It's not just a once-off event. Would you agree with me? If there's three, at least three occasions, it's not just a once-off thing, then I believe that it's supposed to be a general thing that God wants to tell us. He wants this for each and every one who believes. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit, to speak in tongues, and to prophesy. I believe God wants to do it for us today, friends. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit, and maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, or maybe you have, but today is your day of activation again. Today you need to practice your tongue again. Just receive your tongue again. Start to pray in tongues. Start to prophesy the Word of God. Let's not be silent any longer. Because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, but He wants to speak through us. I just want to tell a story of what happened to me this week. So I'm sitting, I told it to the leaders on Monday night and some other people, but I was so excited again to just be used by God. So I'm sitting at the traffic department, and you know, at the traffic department, it's like no one wants to go there because you know you're going to sit in the queues for hours. And I go into the place where you have to pay, and there's just rows of seats, and they're full. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be long. And so you sit there, and you realize, okay, I can't go anywhere else. I have to get my license now or renew my license. So I got to do it. I got to sit here, and I'm really not keen. But I sit there. And now I know, okay, there's someone on the left of me, there's someone on the right of me. So, God, do you want to speak to me? No, God, not today, please. Like, I'm really not loose. Like, just give me a break. It's not Sunday, and I'll preach on a Sunday, but I won't preach on a Monday. It's like, no. Preach 24/7. So I'm sitting here, and this guy's sitting next to me, and I'm thinking, is it this guy or this guy? Who must I speak to now, God? Who do you want to speak to? And then the guy leaves and he plays tag team with his daughter. It looks like his daughter. And so she sits next to me and I'm thinking, yes, where's my wife? And I also want to play tag team. You know, I don't want to sit here the whole time. So like no one to play tag team with for me. So I sit next to her and I'm thinking, okay, what do you want to say something to her or what? And then I hear, and I haven't even spoken to her yet. Normally you engage a little bit and so on, but I just think, Lord, if you want to say something, here I am, God. I'm not very list, but so the Lord says to me, gives me a word, he says, cancer. I'm like, okay, I suppose lots of people know least one person or know about someone who knows someone with cancer. So that's like very general, God. That's like, I'm sure it's not maybe from you, God. Is it from you? Not, must I share? And then the Lord speaks to me again. He says, do not fear cancer. I'm like, okay. So this is getting clearer now. Now I start to sort of make cheap talk and I say, sure, it looks like we're moving. So then we move seats like that and then suddenly no more movement. And then I'm getting frustrated now. I'm thinking, how long is this going to be? And then the Lord just says, you need to speak to her. You need to engage with her. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to step out in faith now, because if this is wrong, I'm going to be very humble and say, look, sorry, I heard wrong. And then I just say to her, do you know someone in your family or someone, some friend who's got cancer? She just looks at me like her eyes just, she's, yeah, it's just left, yeah, you know. Oh. I believe the Lord is saying to you that you mustn't fear the cancer. She says, yo, that is so, because this week he's going for a checkup to confirm that the cancer's gone, that he's healed and he's clean. But like, obviously they're not 100% sure yet. So it was for her such an encouraging word to know that God is saying, don't fear cancer. I'm in control. I'm the healer. I'll back you. And she's also a believer, which I found out later. And we chatted. And then I said to her when I left, I said, just tell your dad. Tell him that I believe it's a word from the Lord, because I didn't know that. I didn't know their situation. And it was totally from God. I really believe it was a word from the Lord. But I was so encouraged again. Just to be used by God, and I've had experiences like this like a few times, but you know, it's like I want more. I want to be used more by God. I want to prophesy into people's lives. I want to speak the word of God. I want to encourage and edify and exhort people, like 1 Corinthians 12 says. It says that we're supposed to, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were given for edification, exhortation, and comfort in 1 Corinthians 14. God wants us guys to edify each other, but to speak the word of God. That's what prophecy is. Prophecy is speaking the will of God into being. And I want to ask you this morning, I want to ask you, how desperate are you to hear the voice of the Lord? Psalm 28 verse 1 says the following, says, David writes, to you, O Lord, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. And he's saying, Lord, I need your word in my life. I need you to speak, Lord, because if you're silent, it's just as similar as if I'm dying, Lord, as if I'm going to die. That's how desperate David was for the word of the Lord. He says, God, please do not be silent. Speak to me. And I believe, friends, with his voice, without God's voice, by his spirit in our lives, we are like living dead people. We are living, but we're dead. Amen. We're walking dead men. Walking dead woman. We're living in the flesh, but we're dying in the spirit. That's what it's like. And we must be desperate. We must be hungry for the will of God and the word of God in our lives. How hungry are you? And I want to ask this, when last did you hear the voice of God? And I'm not asking at you to condemn you, but are you desperate for the voice of God, the clear voice of God speaking to you? Not only for other people, but for you. Maybe you need a word this morning, then say, God, I need a word. I'm desperate not to just do the same old, not just to do what I'm used to, but to hear the voice of the Lord. I remember I was running in Happy Valley there, up in the Happy Valley trail run there a while ago, about 2 years ago. And I'm running, and it was in the middle of the day in the winter, because I like running a bit in the middle of the day, and then the sun's not so hot, and in the winter it's beautiful. It's terrible to run early in the morning. It's ice cold. But I was running in this beautiful winter sunshine, and I was just starting to worship the Lord and speak to God. And then the Lord said to me, he said, call me Dad. And I was like, I'm so used to God, Lord, and you know, yes, Lord, I'll go for you, Lord. I'll be obedient. Lord, God, you know. I heard the Spirit of the Lord just stirring me to call God Daddy or Abba. And it was so amazing. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna. So I said, thank you Daddy for speaking to me. Hello Daddy. I can't remember what I said. I just said Dad. Tears just started to come into my eyes, and I realized, like, this is what God wants me to see him. He wants me to see him as a dad. He wants me to see him as a father, as an Abba. By whom we cry out, Abba Father, the spirit of adoption in us, the spirit of sonship. And I realized I've got such an orphan spirit in me. I'm such a, you know, do the right thing and yes sir, no sir, and I'll obey and God, it's all God and Lord and Master and King and I'll submit and all of that. And God said, I want you to get to know me as Papa, your dad. It was so freeing for me. It was like God saying to me, I want to teach you the Father's heart. I want to teach you my Father's heart. But if it wasn't for the Spirit of God speaking to me, if it wasn't for me hearing, saying, God, here I am, I'm running now, but Lord, I want to speak to you. It's so awesome here in nature. I want you to speak to me, Lord. I'm desperate for a word. And it changed my life. I'll never forget what the Spirit did in me in a few seconds, what 1,000 sermons would probably have done. But how desperate are you for His voice in your life? I want to say this morning that the Holy Spirit wants to give us counsel. Amen. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants to give us mysteries. He wants to show us the mysteries of the Father. The mysteries that have been hidden from all the ages. He wants to give us words for ourselves and for other people. He wants us to prophesy His will, and it goes on and on and on. The Father, heart of God, by His Spirit wants to speak to us and through us. I want to read 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 to 14 as a closing scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. But as it is written, seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Eye has not seen, ear, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. There's a voice. There's a spiritual voice that God wants to speak to us. He wants us to tell us that He cannot see it. He cannot hear it. It's not a natural thing. It's a thing of the Spirit. And then it says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And I want us to be challenged by this, because so many times, myself included, we walk in the flesh, we want to have things in control, we want to be comfortable with what we hear and see and experience. Sometimes it's uncomfortable in the Spirit. It's not something that you can touch physically, it's something that you can touch in your spirit. But what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of a man that in him? What things? What man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, it says, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world. Take note of that. We haven't received the Spirit of the world. That sometimes we do allow the Spirit of the world to take over in us, because we walk more in the natural. We walk more by sight and sound and taste of the natural. But God wants to challenge our spiritual senses, because guess what? We have 5 spiritual senses as well. We can taste and see that God is good. We can hear the voice of the Lord, not an audible voice. And believe me, when I testify about hearing God, it's not an audible voice. It's a hearing in the Spirit. We can smell. There's a sweet smelling aroma, the Bible says. We've got 5 spiritual senses. So it's taste, we've got touch, we can touch in our spirits, feel the touch of God. We can hear and see the things of God in the Spirit. It's not a natural thing. But the things of the world, the Spirit of the world wants to come in. The devil operates through the Spirit of the world. He is the Spirit of this world. But now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Once again, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we've received Him, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Isn't that amazing? Things that are freely given. And then he says, yeah, listen to this. He says, these things we also speak. And I believe there's people this morning. I believe you are so filled with the things of God that you need to speak the things of God. It was like that for me. I'm a shy person. I'm not like a natural, outgoing, spoken type of person. But when you're filled with the things of God, you know you're operating in the Spirit, and you start to share the things of God with me. It's like, wow. Lives are changed. Not because you're good, but because you're filled with the mysteries and the things that God has given us. And he says here, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So you need to be in the Spirit. Sometimes we try to work out what we have to speak because it must be the perfect thing. It must be nice and, you know, wisdom of man, and it must please people and all that. And yes, we, in a way, we do have to do that, but we need to more say, God, I want to speak the mysteries of God. I want to speak the things of God. And it says here, we need to compare spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, we need to be trained in our senses. Amen. Because the natural man, it says, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Can I have an amen? The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Many times in, when you connect with people, it's going to be foolishness. People who aren't spiritual. We need to say, God, use us to connect people with your Spirit, because for spiritually discern. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That passage ends with, we have the mind of Christ. In other words, we have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in us, who gives us the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to speak through us, but first he wants to speak to us. He wants to fill us up with the things of God. I believe the Lord wants to touch you this morning with His touch. Not the physical touch, but with the spiritual touch. He wants to touch your eyes. Open your spiritual eyes again. He wants to open your spiritual ears. Unblock spiritual ears that are deaf from hearing, that cannot hear anymore in the Spirit. He wants to open your taste buds. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Because maybe you've been hurt so many times, but you need to taste in the Spirit again. And that's what we do in worship. We want to taste and see that the Lord is good. That's why yours and the band prepare every Sunday for us, not to nice songs and to have a nice experience, but to really taste that the Lord is good. That's why in Revelation 19 it says, worship God, because the Spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, or the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. That's what worship is about, friends. That's what walking in the Spirit is about. It's about a spiritual experience where we can even bring the spiritual into a natural encounter, where we can, like I did with this lady, I can just say, God, what do you want to say to her? Because I don't know what's going on in life, but Lord, you do. But I want to give her a word that will encourage her. I want to give a word to this family that will encourage them. And God wants to speak to us. This week I also lost my sunglasses. We trained on Tuesday evening, and I've got quite an expensive pair of sunglasses. I don't want to just lose it and buy another one. So I left them at the training on Tuesday after the session, and I get home and it's just me and the kids, and I'm like, I saw Caitlin putting my sunglasses on the railing at Central's rugby field and they fell off, and I put on my top and I must have forgotten to take them again. And so I knew last time I saw these glasses was on that field, and I'm sure some kid has taken them. And so that night I'm at prayer meeting with Peter and Talita and Janethan, and I'm like so upset. I can't think of anything else. I'm supposed to pray now, and I'm supposed to be at peace and just focus on God. And I'm like so upset about these sunglasses. And the Lord just says to me, just trust me. Let go. Because I was like going to say, you guys pray. I'm driving now to that school and I'm going to find those glasses. I'm going to climb over gates. I don't care. I'm going to find them. The Lord just says to me, do you trust me? Do you trust me that I will protect those sunglasses? I will keep them safe. And so Peter and Talita pray for me, and Janice, and they pray, and they say, Lord, I love what Talita, when Talita prays, you know, it's from the Lord, okay? She loves to hear the voice of God, and she loves to pray. And so she says, thank you that you know all about, you know, you have all the sunglasses in the world are under your control. And Lord, this sunglasses thing, we just bring it to you, and it'll be fine. Thank you, Lord. I'm like, I'm still doubting, and I'm wondering. Then I see a picture of these sunglasses there. In the Spirit, I see a picture and I see like this hand protecting these things. I'm saying, okay, God, I'll trust you. But I'm still like this control thing. It's like I'm having this wrestle, let go or let God, you know. And I'm like, at the end of that prayer meeting, I said to Matthew, I'm at peace now. And Matthew's praying for me that whole morning when he's at school, because I dropped him and Caitlin off first. And then, am I going to drop Nathan or am I going to go to Central? I'm like, no, I'm going to Central now. Okay, Nathan, you will still be on for school at 8 o'clock. So I'm going there, and I drive in, and I see there's other cars and there's other kids. These glasses are gone. And I go up to the stadium and I see these boys sitting there, and I just say, have you guys please seen a pair of sunglasses? Because I'm thinking, and the guy goes,
he's in my sock, ek het hom vir jou gehou.
And the other guys are like, diefstal, 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 you know, like, so I said, thank you so much, this guy had it in his top pocket and he gives them to him and I'm like, Lord, this is amazing. This is you, God. This is awesome. Because there's not a chance those things would have been there without God's protection. I mean, they could have easily been stolen. I could have got there late. I would have missed that car. I don't know how I would have found them. But I was just so challenged again to trust God. When he says to you, I've got you. You've got prayer covering. It's going to be okay. And sometimes we need to do this together. Sometimes it's not you on your own giving a word to someone. Sometimes it's a group of people saying, let's trust God together for the Spirit to show us a direction. So I want to challenge us this morning, as the band comes up this morning, I want to encourage us, and I want to challenge us, and I'm trusting that God would release something this morning in your life. Something of His Spirit, because God's Spirit wants to speak to you, and He wants to speak through you. Amen. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is one of speaking to us, but also speaking through us. And I believe God wants to let the river flow this morning, that we have a desire, first of all. That's what I want you to ask yourself this morning and to ask the Lord, do I have a desire, first of all, to hear the Lord? Because that's what prophecy is, desire to prophesy. If you need to prophesy, you need to, first of all, hear from the Lord. You can't just prophesy out of your flesh. Amen. You need to desire spiritual gifts, but especially the Bible says that you may prophesy. So you need a desire to hear the word of God. Then you need to ask God for a boldness to speak the word of God. A desire to be an instrument through which God can flow. Do you have that this morning? I want to pray for people. If that's you here this morning, then I believe God wants to give it to you. He wants to create in you a desire. If you say, God, give me a desire. I want to desire. Not a physical, fleshly desire. It's a desire to just be yielded to your spirit, to hear your voice. Amen. In the spirit, not just a logos word, not just to memorize scripture. That is, and the Spirit uses scripture. The Spirit, that's the foundation. But don't stop at memorizing scripture. Say, God, what does the scripture mean to me and to someone else? I want a desire to hear you, but then, Lord, more than that, I'm going to have to take a bold step to speak to someone. And it might be someone you know, but it might be someone you don't know. And it's a step of faith. Just like I had to take a step across the barrier between me and this girl. It's like, Lord, if I'm wrong, I'm going to have to be humble. But God, I believe this is you, because why would I think of the word cancer? Why would I think of, do not fear cancer? I mean, I haven't got cancer. I don't need to not fear cancer right now for me, but it must be for someone else. So I believe the Lord wants to give you that design. He wants to give you the boldness if you ask. And say, God, I want to prophesy not for myself only, but I want to speak the word of God to someone's life. That is the ministry, or one of the ministries, friends, of the Holy Spirit, speaking to you, speaking through you. Can we close our eyes this morning?